So Valentine's Day, the day that we get to express and show our love for those whom we love, especially boyfriends and girlfriends, spouses, and those types of things. We get it. The day finds its, I went online and said, let me find out about this day, and because I think and I believe that it truly is a day for the cards and flowers and candies, okay? And it really seems to me that that's really what it's all about, and that they're the ones that really promote this day because they sell a lot of cards, they sell a lot of chocolates, and they sell a lot of flowers. And so that's what I think. But I looked into it, and it does have a pagan background, which I expected. The day finds its origins back before the 5th century. It comes from, many of the things that we celebrate come from the Roman festival, I hope I get this right, Lupercalia. And it's held about the same time of year. It was held mid-February back in Rome. And it celebrated the coming of spring. But along with the coming of spring, it also celebrated fertility. In fact, a lot of the fertility rites of that day were included in the celebration of that day. And get this, ladies, you may not like this. There was a pairing off of women to men through a lottery system. So, boy, men, I hope you got the right number, right? Because if not, who knows what you got? Or ladies, vice versa, because you know what? There's some, you know, there might be some men who you may not want to spend time with. So better hope you got the right number in that lottery, right? Better hope the numbers came up for that one. But that's where Valentine's Day comes from. And today, like I said, it's really just a promotion by card companies, by chocolate companies, candy companies, and by card companies. It's definitely a huge day of business for each of them. But have you ever discovered, and this is where I'm going with this, have you ever discovered that there are some people who you just don't want to love? Anybody ever been there? I mean, you know, and it could be for a lot of reasons. It could be that they've hurt you. It could be that you've been through a bad past with them. It could be that they're just unlovable, that the way they act and the way that they go through life is just, it makes them unlovable. Now, if you're speaking about your spouse today, that they're unlovable, then we have a problem. And my office is open, just call me, and I will definitely get you into some counseling, biblical counseling that you need. I'm not talking about your spouse, though. I'm sure that even my wife, Miss Kimmy, could say, oh yeah, Ken gets unlovable sometimes. Yeah, there's a little, you know, and I won't talk about her that way at all, but I'm sure she could say, yeah, that man can be unlovable sometimes. And I know I can, because I know there's days that I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. There's days that things don't go right in my life. And you know what we do? We snap off at the people whom we love, don't we? Because we bring it home, or we allow it to affect our lives with them. And that's not the way it should be, because we all have bad days. Other people just rub us wrong. Other people are just downright ignorant. And other people just turn us off. Some are disgusting. Some are arrogant. Some say things that are hurtful. Some do things that are hurtful. And the list could go on today. But we're not here for that list. I want to bring to you another list today. I want to bring to you a list that God talks about when he talks about love. Now, the world would tell us that we can just ignore these people, that we should walk right on by them and not let them bother us. Or as my sister, as my sister-in-law Ashley would say, to me, she tells me this all the time, you're dead to me. Which, in other words, is her way lovingly of telling me, you know what, you're getting on my nerves, just walk away from me. And there she is laughing about it because she knows, right? So, you know, and so this is the way the world tells us to treat these people. Now, Ashley and I can say that to one another and totally love one another. At least I want her to know I love her. I don't know if it's reciprocal, but I know that I love her. But if we look into the Word of God today, church, we find a much different response is required from the believer, from the one whom has been shown so much love. Amen? And that reaction to everybody, the ones who hurt us, the ones who deride us, the ones who put us down, the ones who have caused pain in our lives, that even the reaction to them should be love. And most of us know, because you've heard me speak it, you've read books about it, it's common knowledge, that there are four loves. Some people even list a fifth. But according to the Word of God, there's four loves. And let me just touch on them really quick so that there's no confusion in what I'm speaking about today. We have the storge love. This is the love of familiar things. This is the love of family. This is the love that parents would have toward their children and that siblings would have with one another. It's instinctual. It's just you're born into something that you love. And it's instinctual that we would love one another because we're brothers and sisters, or because it doesn't mean we don't argue. Doesn't mean we don't have times that we're at each other's throats. But it simply means, you know, my brother Tony, he's not my brother, but I call him my brother. He hasn't been here in a few weeks because he plows the expressway, the Atlantic City Expressway. So he has been called out like for days at a time in the last 3 weeks just out on a truck and plowing that so that we're safe as we drive. But he's got a twin brother. I grew up with them, Luke and Tony. And man, those two would fight like cats and dogs. And I'm not saying anything out of turn. If he was sitting here today, he would be laughing at me. They fought like cats and dogs. But if one person turned against one of them, you got the Cusick brothers, man. And they would fight for each other, and they would win every battle they were in, man. I tell you what, they weren't always the cleanest fighters, but they won the battle. That's storge love. That's the love of familiar. That's the familiar things, the love of family. The other love, and this can be confused with our next love. Storge and philia, or phileia, go together. Phileia is that love that we would know as brotherly love. But it's not only just for family, it's also for close friends, for those that we're in relationship with, and equals. So we have this brotherly love. In fact, we live just a short drive from Philadelphia, which is known as the city of brotherly love, unless you watch the news every night and see how many people are dying in its streets each and every night. The city of brotherly love. Then there's Eros love. We understand that. The type of love that Valentine's Day is more properly geared toward. It is the passionate love that is shared between men and women. Not today. It's shared between, forget that. More pointedly in the Christian, this is where I got to be so careful in what I say, because I get myself in trouble. So the way God sees it, it is the passionate love that is shared between men and women, more pointedly to the Christian belief between husband and wife. And so we think of the word that we would get from that, erotic. And so we understand Eros love. And then there is the fourth love, agape love. The dictionary calls it the love of mankind, but that's weak. I would call it the love that goes much deeper than that. For it is the love that God requires of us, because it is the love that God had for us. Because it is the love that has reached down and made such a difference in our lives. Agape love says this: I love you, and I will continue to love you no matter what you do back to me. That's agape love. Thank God for that. Because where would we be as sinners that God loved us and we spit back in his face so many times, but he still loved us. And the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because of agape love, okay? And so agape love is the strongest, and we need to thank God every day for this love that says no matter what you've done, I still love you. Let's read our scriptures for today. 1 John 4, I'm sure that's not a surprise. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21, Lord, bless your word today. Beloved, verse 7 of 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have seen from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So he says, beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Notice the word that John uses here to address his listeners. He uses the word beloved. That means that these people are already people who know Jesus Christ. That means that these people are already believers. They are already following Christ. that they've already come to know God's love over each and every one of their lives. This means that John is speaking to believers here. This means that this is pointedly, listen, church, to you and I today. Just as it was to the believers then, it is to each and every one of us, because how many know it's written in the Bible so that we would know how to live? It's given in the Bible so that we would know what's expected of us, and it's put in the Bible and recorded in the Bible so that we could know what God wants to do in us and through us. And so he's speaking to us, every one of us who claim in the building and online today, to know Jesus Christ. He says, beloved, love one another. So this means that we are to love those who are in the church. Everyone who is in the church, not just our church. We have a Baptist church up the street that we associate with, Brother Dave Moselle and Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church. We have Assembly of God churches. We have independent churches in the area. We have Seventh-day Adventist Church. I've been up there, spoken at one of their crusades, done things with them. And so it should not matter who we are, what church we are representing. We should love those in the church. We should especially love those in this church today, because we are truly brothers and sisters. We are in the same part of the body. So we are either all the big toe, we are all the ear, we are all part of the belly, navel, whatever God calls this church as part of the body, we are all part of that, okay? And so we need to know that we are called to love one another, whether they sit on the same side of the pew as you or the same side of the aisle that you do. And I mean more than just the 4 feet or 5 feet that separate the two sets of seats in this church. I'm talking about the things that can separate us today. How many know there are a lot of things that the enemy will use to separate those in the church today? We are living in a world that is separated by color. The church should not be so. We are in a world that is separated by gender, and I mean male and female, not what other genders they're bringing out. The church should not be so. We are separated by our likes. We are separated by our dislikes. The church should not be so. We are separated by our personal preferences and by our prejudices. And if we're not careful, folks, listen, we all have prejudices. There are things that are built into us because of the families that we grew up in, or because of things that we experienced at others' hands, that can bring prejudices against gender, against color, against anything else. So we need to be careful of those things. It should not be in the church. We are separated by the music we listen to. I've watched Pastor Rick walk into my office when I think I'm in the church alone, and I've got my heavy Christian rock on. I mean, it's like death metal. And he's like, I'm like, I love it. And they're talking about Jesus, and I just love it. So don't judge me, but that's what I like. Now, I love worship music, but I grew up with heavy metal Christian music, Striper and Neon Cross and Bride. I grew up with all of those, and so it's still, there's nothing like it. I on my motorcycle, rah, 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 rah. People must think, what is that? And then they heard Jesus, like, yeah, it's good, it's uplifting, amen. So that's me. You may not like that music, but don't judge me. I won't judge you when you're listening to Celine Dion or to something else that's that's singing out of your music. But we could separate with those things, right? The people we vote for can separate us, man. We've seen that in the country this year. The sports teams that we cheer for. Come on. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Man, I have been so torn apart in this place by some of you, but you know what? I have no bragging. There's nothing I can brag about. I still love you Philly fans. I don't love your team, but I still love you. Jose, if you're watching today, I still love you, brother. Pablo, if you're watching today, I still love you, brother. And we're not going to let those things separate us. That's why we don't talk about those things at men's group. We talk about Jesus. Because whether we like a Ford or a Chevy can separate us. Whether we like a Harley or a Kawasaki can separate us. But we don't let those things separate us. Amen? Because hopefully we're bigger people because of what God has done. The things we do for fun, the things we do for relaxation can separate us. Now, I don't mean to exaggerate these things, but I do want you to see today that if we are not careful, there is plenty that the enemy could use in even a church our size to bring division. And we know that he's already done that through COVID. He's so separated us and so broken us apart. I've been listening to Pastor Dennis online. He's been talking about it's so important that the church begins to come together back in the house. He's so important that people carry Bibles and not just on their phones, but that they get into the paper word of God. And why is that? Well, you can mark things and things like that, you know, and I don't know, but I get it. There's something to what he's saying. There's something to what he's going to bring to our church. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. This is what I'm trying to say. Jesus is glorified in our services. Jesus is glorified in our bodies when we love one another. When we stop looking at what separates us, when we stop looking at what divides us, and we start looking for the Jesus in each of us, and we love one another. Jesus expects that we will carry on the ministry that he started, which was a ministry of love, that he left for us to do when he went back to heaven. And he said, and we'll show you these scriptures today, the world will know that we are his followers when we love people, each other in the church, and people that aren't like us outside the church, like Jesus had love for them when he was here. Because let me tell you today that he is here. Jesus is very much here, and he is right inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And so he's in your workplaces, he's in the gym that you're in, he's in the places where sometimes we judge people and where we distance ourselves from people. And you know what he wants to do through us? He wants to love those people. He wants to care for those people. And we are sometimes so quick to write them off. So on the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the reality was, church family, that we were signing up for his ministry of love. Amen? His ministry of reconciliation. Just as he reconciled us through his love, he expects that he could use us to reconcile others through his love. His ministry of leaving the 99 to go after the one. And I've been there. I've been with a group of people. And I get a phone call or I get a text, and I know that it's such an important phone call. I know that somebody's going through something, and I have a choice. Do I stay with the party? Do I stay where I'm having fun? Do I stay in everything? Or do I go and take this phone call? Or do I go and get involved in a conversation or leave because I have to? That's going to take an hour and a half of my time, take me away from the fun that I'm having because somebody is hurting. And I pray that I make that choice every time, because that's what Jesus would do. Leave the 99 and go after the one, because they are so important at that moment. Their lives matter. And I don't think that we always recognize that. And that's the message I want to bring today. Whenever Jesus spoke parables about love, he used many different kinds of symbols to explain what loving one another meant. And one of my favorites is this. And this isn't a parable. This was truth. These were real words Jesus was saying. It wasn't a lesson he was trying to teach. It was the truth that he was speaking. And it's over in Matthew 5, verses 38 to 41. Listen to this, because this is important. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I think that sometimes we read these scriptures in the church, or pastors speak about them, or they're part of our devotion that day, and we like them, and they think, that's powerful, Jesus. Thanks for sharing that with me. But we kind of write them off as just something that we should try to do, because you can't do these things. Our world would tell us, the world we're living in would tell us, you can't do these things. They're not possible. But Jesus is very clear here to say that these are things that we must do, because this is who the believer and the follower of Christ are. And so this is what they should be about. These aren't just good recommendations. This is truth today about who we are and what we should do. We are commanded, listen, church, to love others. And not just the others in the church with us. Because there are parables that he speaks. And he says it's very easy to love those that you love. Even the tax collectors do that. Even the sinners do that. Listen, the people in a bar, they all love one another. I mean, some of them are so drunk they don't even know who they're talking to. But they love one another. Why? Because they're all there from hurt. They're all there to share their hearts with a bartender. Well, I can't imagine the things that a bartender hears. I just can't imagine, but it must be crazy. But you see, some people would rather sit on the bar stool than sit in a church pew. Why? Because they're more accepted there than they are in the church today. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We're to love the others in the world with us. We're to love the others in our workplaces. And right now, as I say these things, you're probably getting pictures in your mind, I believe by the Holy Spirit, of people that you have neglected or people that you've not spent time with because, oh, they just irk me so much. But this is what Jesus is saying. Go to them in our workplaces, in our social places, in our communities, and wherever else that we may do life. And if you haven't already discovered this church, then let me tell you today, this is not always going to be easy. I wish I could tell you as the man behind the pulpit today that I've always done this, but that's not always been the case. There have been times when I have done it and it's worked really well. And then there have been other times when I've just, because of the moment I'm in, have not done it and have gone down the road a day or two and realized I should have done it. I still bear for six or probably, time flies when you're having fun. It's probably 5 or 6 years now. This house right here, just sold. It's been empty for about 2 or 3 years. I never knew the man. The man would do his lawn real nice. He would come out and do the edge of the road for the church. He would put decorations up along the church road out here in Jackson Road, and he took care of that entrance, just that entrance there. And I think he was a Spanish man. Like I said, I never met him, and I got word one day that he wanted to see me, and I just thought, okay, I'll go over when I have a chance. I didn't know that he was on the throes of death. I did not know that and did not go over, and then finally heard that he had passed away. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. Why did he want to see me? Did he need to get his life right with God? Did he need to say something to me in regards to something that the Holy Spirit was drawing him? Did he not know God? Did he pass into eternity not knowing God? And I was the one who was supposed to, I don't know. And today that still haunts me. Because I know that I should have dropped what I was doing, but I didn't know him from Adam. I never met him, never talked to him, never waved to him. And I didn't take the time to go to him. And I got to tell you, that haunts me today. And I just pray, Lord, in my disobedience, I pray that you sent somebody else. I pray, God, that if that was a situation of salvation, then I know you're merciful. And I know that if this pastor wouldn't go, that there was somebody else who would. So please, God, please, please, please let that man be in eternity today if that was all about that. Now, maybe it wasn't. But I just have a sense that he understood the time that he was living in and he needed to talk to somebody. It's not easy. There are many of these people who seem very unlovable. There are many of these people who we don't know, who we don't want to feel like we get close to. Maybe some of us are a little nervous about getting close to people, or there's things that we don't want to do. And so, you know, listen. And there are people that if you do show them the love of Jesus, they don't want it. Amen? Have you seen those? They're just miserable. They're just, you know, pray for their hearts. But Jesus was very clear here. Notice he didn't say to love those who are just lovable. He says love them even when they slap you in the face. Now, I don't think Jesus wants us to get beat up for him. That may happen. I've seen it happen. I know people are going to jail, and I know people are being persecuted in other countries, and I believe it will come to America at some point, and I think that's what's going to bring the church together. But I don't think that we should just go out and somebody socked me in the face, so I'm just going to turn my other cheek. That's not what it's saying. If that's the case, then maybe that is what he's saying. But I believe what Jesus is saying here is those that do harm to you, those who mean harm to you, don't back away from them, but show them the love of Jesus. Show them the love that I have for them. Love them when they sue you. Imagine that. And that we are not to stop just when we think we have done enough. But he says, if they've asked you to go 1 mile, go 2. Come on. Come on, Jesus, a mile's not enough. I walked with this guy for 1 mile. I've been through the things. I've heard the stories. I've prayed with him. I've laid hands on him. I've done this. I've done that. And Jesus says, go the extra mile. Go 2. Jesus has shown us some things here. And this is where the truth hits the road this Valentine's Day. How do we do that? How do we love from a heart that's been hurt? How do we love from a heart that's been stepped on? How do we love from a heart that's been torn apart? How do we look at the person who just punched us in the face? And not maybe, and I'm not talking about maybe even a physical punch. Maybe it was. Or maybe it's just a spiritual slap or an emotional slap or something, and not punch them back. How do we sit across the courtroom from a person, an ex-spouse, an angry neighbor, or a boss, and love them when they are trying to take our money, our time, and our name? They might even be lying, or it might be the truth. But how do we do that? No matter what the motive or situation may be, it hurts, doesn't it? And Jesus says, respond to them with love. Minister to them with love. I get that. When we love the way that God expects us to love his people, it's going to hurt. I get it. There's always great joy, but there's always going to be terrific pain. It sure hurt Jesus to love us, didn't it? In fact, it killed him to love us. But he modeled it before us and went ahead and loved us anyway. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so we go back to 1 John 4, I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to cruise through them quickly, and we're going to be finished today. How do we do it? Pastor, how am I going to love somebody when they're so unlovable, when they punched me in the face, when they've sued me, when they've drug my name through the dirt? How am I going to love somebody back? And we go back to 1 John 4. These are not recommendations. These are commands. Number one, we love because that is who our God is. We love because that is who our God is. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. How do you do that? You do it not in your own love. You do it in God's love. Because if you are sitting across from somebody who's suing you, and you are seeing a neighbor defame you, or you're seeing a situation, somebody punches you in the face, and there's no way that you have the love capability inside of you in human nature to love them back. You have to do it in God's love. Look what he says. For love is of God. Let me say that again. For love is of God. You might want to underline that. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So on this Valentine's Day morning, if you are failing in loving someone, can I tell you? It's because you're loving them with the wrong love. You're trying to love them from a measure of your own love. You're trying to love them from a type of your own love and not the true love of God. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've seen some of these situations. Haven't always done it right. But when I have, it has turned that situation around. God's love, listen to me, God's love can love anyone. How do I know that this morning? Because God's love loved me. And God's love loved you. And so if God's love could love us, think about it this morning. Think about what I'm saying. If God's love could love us, and if you were the only person alive ever on this earth, Jesus still would have died for you because God loved you that much. And so if God is able to love us, and how many know he's able to love some of the people, wretched people that we look at and say, wow, they are just out there, man. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because probably most of us were unlovable too. Now, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to say, I know that that's true of my heart, so I'm sure that it's true of yours as well. The next thing that we see here is a point that I try to make many times in my messages. Verse 8, God is love. Listen, it's not just that love is of God, it's that God is of love. In other words, the personality and the character and the person of God is love. So therefore, the Bible says, if we truly know him, not just know of him, but truly have a personal relationship with this God, then we truly have a relationship with love. And that love, if you're in relationship with love, guess what's going to happen? Love is just going to flow out of you. And it's going to touch people that you don't even know you're touching. And it's going to make a difference in people's lives that you don't even know you're making a difference in their lives. The love will just flow out of us, and as much as you try to stop it up and keep it, it's not going to be able to. It's just going to overflow your life. Why? Because you're connected. You're in relationship with love. So it can do nothing else but flow out of your being. So anytime and every time that you have said, that I have said, that we have said, it's impossible to love that person, or it's beyond me to love that person, I want you to know you have spoken truth. You have spoken truth, because it is impossible with your type of love. It is impossible with your measure of love. It is beyond you, because this love is of God. This love is who God is. And we, as his children, must take on the personality of our ever-loving Heavenly Father, because people's lives are hanging in the balance today. Number two, we love because that is what has been demonstrated before us or demonstrated to us. Verses 9 and 10. This love of God was manifested toward us when? When God sent his Son to die for us. Whether you want to believe it or not, you were unlovable. I was unlovable. Sin had ruined mankind. It marred that which was made in the image of God. And God couldn't even look at us. Get this, God couldn't even look at us. You talk about unlovable? God can't even look at us because we were ugly. We were ugly as sin to God. And so we were separate. And all you were saying, speak for yourself, Pastor. No, sin makes us ugly. Sin makes us unbearable to God. But while we were in sin, while we were ugly, while we were marred, while we were broken, God sent his Son in the flesh to die on the cross. One man carrying the sin of the entireness of the entire humanity. One man carrying the ugliness of all men, all women. And we know this because when that sin is placed on Jesus on the cross at that moment, what does it say? It says, Father God turned his head from his Son. And Jesus cries out, my God, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God couldn't look upon him when he had your ugliness on him. God couldn't look upon him when he had your sin on him. When it was being crucified with him, God turns his back on his own Son. He could not look at him. But you know who he could look at that moment? He could look at every one of us. He could smile on us, even knowing we weren't born yet, knowing he had a plan for our lives to be born in 1980, 1960, 1970, 1950, 1990, 2000, whatever you were born in, knowing that he had a plan for your life. God turns from his Son who carries all of our sin. He cannot look upon him. He turns from him and he looks to us and he says, you are now my children. You are now lovable. You are no longer ugly with sin. Amen. That's love, right? That's love. That's what was demonstrated toward each and every one of us, whether you're living in it right now or whether you're not. Now, it's not finished because look at verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It wasn't that we loved God. So let's get this good thing that we did out of our minds. Because we all say, hey, I accepted Christ as my Savior. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. What you did is you accepted what Christ did for you. But what really happened is Christ accepted you. Christ died for you. Christ went to the cross for you. The wretched and broken beings that we all were. And all that we can do is accept that sacrifice. And all that we can do is thank God for the love that was shown to us. And all that we can do is thank Jesus that he died for us and open up our lives to live what he has done. I didn't accept Jesus. He accepted me. He died for me. I allowed him in my heart because of his love for me. And you and I, listen, church, you and I get to share this love every day with people that we do life with people we rub shoulders with people we come into contact with, people who are broken, people who are acting out in sin and selfishness, just like we did before. So I ask you, are you running from them or are you running to them? Because if you truly have Jesus in your life, you should be running to them. That's the love that has been demonstrated. Jesus ran to us and found us in our sin and lifted us out of our sin. It demonstrated to us so that we would know how to demonstrate it to others. And then lastly today, we love because this is what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. So if we love, then we prove three things. Number one, that God abides in us. How does God abide in us? Through the Holy Spirit in us. Number two, that his love has been perfected in us. Perfected is the word, the Greek word, teleao, teleao. It means accomplished or completed. In other words, it has had its full effect in our lives. That it has accomplished its task in our lives. So love has accomplished its task in our lives. So if you cannot love with the love of God, you need to ask God today to finish what he started in you so long ago. To allow his love to be completed in you. If you're still holding something against someone this Valentine's Day, then you need to give God the space that he needs in your life to show you his love and what it cost him to love you. And then thirdly, that his Holy Spirit is in us. So if we love, we're proving that God abides in us. We're proving that love has been accomplished in us. And thirdly, that his Holy Spirit is in us. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit in them. Now, being a Pentecostal church, we believe that there's an extra power that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. But everybody, get this right, everybody, no matter who you are, when you said, Jesus, be my Savior, the Holy Spirit was given to you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit should be leading us. I believe that the Holy Spirit should be guiding us. He should be causing changes in our lives, because no longer are we alive to our sinful nature, but we are now no longer are we alive to our brokenness. No longer are we alive to those things that used to rule us. We are now being ruled by the Spirit of God. And so all of those three things, if we love, are active in our lives. And so all three, and I close today with this, all three of these evidences of God in our lives should mean that we love people differently than we used to. That we care for people differently than we used to. That people see a difference in how we treat them. That people see a difference in how we care for them. That people see a difference in how we speak to them than how we used to. That may not be the message that we get from Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day says just love the person who's next to you. Love the person whom you love. Love your spouse. Love this. Love that. You know, and because these are the people who love you back. But that's not always going to be the case. Some of these people I'm talking about will never love you back. But they still deserve to be loved. Amen? We're no longer our own, but now we live for Christ. And so the message is not the message from Valentine's Day today about love. It's the message from God's Word that I want you to hear about love. And what are you going to do about it? We are no longer our own. We are purchased with a price, the price of the blood and the life of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Just as He loved us that much, we need to turn our hearts toward Him. And we need to turn our hearts toward those others in this place, our brothers and sisters, and then turn our hearts with the love that we share toward those whom God wants to love and whom God wants to care for and whom God wants to treat to His own love. Just as He loved us that much, we need to love them. That's what God's love is all about. And I pray that it encourages your heart today. And I pray that you walk out of this place with a greater desire to show the love of God that you've been given to those around you. Amen? Can I pray for you?